This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Good evening, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Man, things are hopping around here at the Ye Olde Pipe Shop. It's going great. We're getting really excited about the upcoming weekend. Got a lot going on. And man, things are just moving along. Football season's in gear. People are coming in looking for those smokes, looking for the nice, Saturday afternoon, respite, something to pair with their favorite whiskey, their favorite, football team. And of course, we'll be doing some pairings tonight of our own.
Yeah, man. All right. So I got to ask you a question. Look, I know it's a dumb question, and I know that a lot of times we joke and you call Gumby the Avengers, and I think that hockey is football.
There are no stupid questions, just stupid people.
And I'm one of those people. And this is my question to you, sir. You said it's football season, and that is true, but it's also basketball season at the same time?
No.
No.
No, that comes a little later on in the fall.
Because my phone is telling me that Memphis is playing somebody tonight. It's got a little basketball icon.
Well, maybe it already started. Okay. I don't follow basketball a lot, but I always associate basketball with kind of like. Well, honestly, like
it
right
says
around
Orlando, yeah. The Magic is Orlando Magic. That is a basketball team. Memphis Grizzlies. I just
okay.
Sports
well, that's
you
that you did.
I sportsed you.
You sportsed me. That is a verb. Yeah. That is a verb. And you sportsed me. That's
I totally
right.
Sportsed
yeah. No,
you.
You know, I never really got into pro basketball. Never really got into basketball. Period. But I always associate kind of the start of basketball season, at least on the college level, right around Halloween. You know that kind of Halloween time. And so it's just enough into the Mississippi State football season to get depressed about football, and then you're looking for the next sport. Yeah, that's kind of right. As a true Mississippi State fan, that kind of it just kind of leads me into the next sport, and so I always associate that. And then by the time that basketball is winding down, baseball's picking up, and so every time
baseball. I mean, we can all agree that baseball's kind of boring, right?
Well, I mean, if you're watching it live, it's different. You know, if you're on site, that's one thing. If you're watching on TV, you might as well be watching.
Well, exactly. Yeah. You go on site, you get the chips, you turn to see what everybody's cheering about, and then you go back to your chips and beer.
No, I'm just saying, baseball here locally, you go. It's an event because of Thirsty Thursday.
That's right.
No, I mean it's Thirsty Thursday and they're playing baseball like that. That's kind of part of it.
Well, man, tonight as we record live, it is Thirsty Monday with what we've got going on this evening. It's going to be a fun show. And of course, Thirsty Wednesday for those of you tuning into the podcast. But man, we've got a lot of events coming up. Of course, literally, we got to make mention of this. We are literally 1 week away, less than from the Texas Pipe Show.
It's exciting. We're leaving this Friday. We're just talking a few days here. And of course, we'll be live broadcasting. Will it be live? I know we'll be broadcasting.
Okay. So we're still, confirming the details in terms of whether or not we'll have Wi-Fi access and that sort of thing. But we will definitely be on site.
We'll be doing a show.
For the Texas Pipe Show. We'll be doing a show. Those of you who are coming, you're going to want to make sure that you're on site at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
That is when we're going to start our recording. If we can do a live broadcast, we will. And so for those of you who are looking to tune in to Country Squire Radio live from Texas, it'll be 1 p.m. Of course, CountrySquireRadio.com is the website for it. So we'll kind of figure it out as we go along, as we have done since the beginning of this show. But one way or the other, it is going to be a blast. In fact, we were just kind of talking right beforehand about possibly doing a tobacco talk live from the Texas Pipe Show with kind
it
of
could be fun
Texan themed tobaccos and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's still kind of a work in progress, but we'll see where that goes. There's a lot of good material there, so.
Also, we will have a listener meetup happening that evening right after the show. 8 p.m. Is the time.
That's on Saturday the 7th,
On Saturday the 7th. Those of y'all who are going to be there this weekend, it's going to be a blast, guys. I don't think we'll have a hard time finding each other one way or the other, but in the event that you get separated or you end up kind of leaving the show and wanting to know where we all end up, make sure you're following us on Twitter, at Squire Radio. That's where we'll keep you informed about listener meetups, show going live, all that kind of information. Hashtag Texas Pipe Show?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That should probably be it.
Of course, there's still time to sign up for the long smoke competition.
Yes.
Or the slow smoke competition, if you're grammatically correct. If you're Country Squire correct, it is a long smoke competition.
Oh, and you know, Country Squire is always correct in the most incorrect kind of way.
It's in the most incorrect kind of ways.
That's right.
Yes. So and you can do that at TexasPipeShow.com. They've got a place for you to sign up there. We are so honored, of course, this year to have been selected to blend the inaugural blend for the Texas Pipe Show, and this year I'm thrilled to say we can announce our blend.
Oh, okay. Now this is great because listeners for the last several weeks have heard, of course, that you've been given the honor to come up with the blend for the long/slow smoke competition.
That's right.
In Texas, and you know, you've been a little coy about this. I've been trying to kind of pull it out of you, like, hey, what about the locals getting access to this stuff? But no, sir, you have been.
I keep it kind of close to the vest, you know.
And you've been walking the straight and narrow.
Well, I don't want to put my jewels out in front of swine, you know.
Well, hey, yeah, that's fair. A little sensitive. I'm on a diet at the moment.
No, I was about to say that in someone I love very much often says he wishes there were less of him, and soon there's going to be less of you.
Well, there you go. But all right. So this is big news. This is world breaking news right here and now. What is the tobacco that will be for the slow/long smoke competition in Texas?
It is a aromatic for the grown man.
Ooh!
And it is called Texas Tea.
Oh!
Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, Texas Tea.
I'm really happy about how it came out. So, Texas Tea. This is our new blend in honor and for the Texas Pipe Show. Of course, we'll be debuting it this coming Saturday there in Fort Worth, and so excited. It's going to be the blend that everyone will smoke in the slow smoke competition. And so Texas Tea, it is a grown man's aromatic. It's one of those that is semi-sweet. There are, you know, light notes of fruit, but the stronger notes of cinnamon, thick, creamy Cavendish.
Mm.
You know, it's an aromatic tobacco, but it's not a syrupy aromatic tobacco. It's one of those that that people that like real robust flavors can still enjoy if they want something just a little sweet. So, man, just a great blend. We're excited about it, and who knows if it's a hit? It might wind up being on the shelf at the Country Squire. We don't know. So we'll get feedback and see kind of where that goes.
You know, you've talked about blending tobaccos for long smoke competitions in the past, and how it is a challenge because there's so many different palates that will be smoking, but probably the most important aspect of it is that these people will be smoking it for so long, or at least hopefully, if they're contenders. And so, from that standpoint, you know, I would imagine that an aromatic at least gives your palate something to play around with, even if you're not necessarily an aromatic smoker.
No, that's right. You know, there's always a difficulty with doing something for a slow smoke competition. You got people coming from all different categories. You know, kind of the in America anyway, kind of the safe bet is okay, let's do something aromatic and accessible to most palates. And all this kind of thing. But, you know, we've got our English blend smokers and our, you know, Virginia smokers and our, you know, vapor smokers and whatnot that bristle at that. So there's the balance of, you know, crafting something that the every man's palate is gonna like. And so, you know, that's the thing. Like, and here again, I'm excited to get feedback on this because it's one of those blends, right? It's not going to be a polarizing blend for anyone. And so is that a good thing or a bad thing? See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? That's the difficulty in crafting a blend for something like a slow smoke competition. It's like, you know, you really want everyone to enjoy it or at least not hate it. But in doing that, are you kind of leaving your identity at the door? And so, you know, I think as you're smoking this tobacco, maybe you'll have a kind of a sense of my, you know, desire to get it right for all these different groups.
Man.
And anyway, I hope we nailed it. I'm excited about it and look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts.
I love it, man.
Yeah, Texas right. Tea.
So I'm kind of interested because, of course, we've got, you know, the Texas Pipe Show coming up this week. But then later on this month, we do have the Jackson Pipe Night happening October 28th.
That's right.
And that, of course, the long smoke competition here. Will Texas Tea be making its way to Mississippi or
you know, that's a good question. I actually haven't thought about that.
You've been putting all your effort into
it. I literally haven't thought
blend.
About that. I know. And had completely ignored our local blend.
Oh wow.
Right.
so Texas Tea might get, well, I was about to say Mississippi Mud, but that name's taken. Although some
it
people
is.
In the industry apparently don't care if the name's been taken, seersucker.
I know, right?
Sorry, let me just take a sip of my Texas tea.
No,
right
exactly. No, no. We love the folks at Cornell and Deal, but but we did have Seersucker first. They did have Mississippi Mud first.
Well, there you go. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's where we take it back.
I know, right? Yeah.
In all fairness, we here. That's what I'm saying.
That's right. Man, we're really, really excited about Jackson Pike Night 2, October 28th. Of course, that'll be right around the corner here at the Country Squire. We're going to have live music. It's sponsored by Neil Monnier, a pipe carver from the Southern California area. We've got Savinelli United States also sponsoring us, as well as Briarworks USA, of course, based in Nashville. So excited about those things, and going to have live music, popsicles from Gourmet Deep South Pops, have some good food, libations. It'll be a great time. So if you're in the Central Mississippi area, come on down. It's going to be October 28th. That's a Saturday night, and tickets will go on sale tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Yep.
That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a blast. Now, that's happening here in the U.S., but over across the pond, over the U.K., the next day, October 29th, Canal House starts at 12 noon.
That's in Nottingham.
In Nottingham. I believe it's Nottingham, but that comes later in the show. We let's just say that we've been saying a lot of things incorrectly according to the Brits. But that's
what we do generally.
That is true.
We say things incorrectly for people in Arkansas.
Yeah, look, those Arkansians, they don't know what they're talking about.
That might actually be how you say it. I'm not sure.
But of course, yeah, the UK Pipe Show happening October 29th. Again, that's Canal House starting at noon in Nottingham. We want to encourage you to show up, and especially to those of you who are going to go, just because it is so cool to have an event so far away that we get to be able to participate in some capacity with the War of the Roses. Yes, the Lancaster blend versus the White Rose. Go sample those tobaccos. Let us know what you think. Those of you who do meet up, if you're a listener of Country Squire Radio, ask around, like, hey, does anybody else listen to Country Squire Radio, so that you guys can take selfies together, send those in, because I got to tell you, that would like make our life if we could see that happening.
There's a big part of me that thinks we should just be there for
yes.
That.
Yes.
But, I mean, we can't, because we're, you know, it's too
next
close.
Year, baby.
It's too close, and we're broke.
But, next year, baby.
But I mean, I'm just saying, in the future, right?
I mean, we're kickstarting that. Are you kidding me? Look, I'm saying, if the War of the Roses becomes a repeat thing in some capacity, we got to make it happen. I don't know how, but we got to make it happen.
Okay, yeah, we'll see.
And shout out to all of you guys over in the UK, and we hope that you guys have a blast. All right, man, speaking of a blast, we've got a blast of a thing to say right now. Weird transition. We've got some new... We've got some new club members.
What a nerd. New club members, man. It's great.
Yeah, well, specifically, we've got one new club member joining at the Squire level, and I believe this is his God-given, his Christian name.
Right, baptized name.
Oilfield Pipe Guy.
Oilfield Pipe Guy, Child of the Covenant.
Yes. Right. Oilfield Pipe Guy joins.
Dude, thanks for joining at the Squire level. That's wonderful, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a big shout-out to you. You know, it's one of those names that I actually feel like I'm pronouncing correctly.
I think you might have gotten that one right.
I think I nailed it. Right. We also have a new patron who's joined up to help support the show as well, Byron Fiss. And I do think I'm pronouncing that one right as well. And hey, if you would like to help support this show, we would really encourage you to do it. Head over to CountrySquireRadio.com, click join the club. Even if you just want to become a patron, it's a great thing to do. But for those of you who are joining the club or who are club members, there's a little something coming your way.
End of October, baby.
At the end of October, our Halloween special is relatively around the corner. At the final episode of October, of course, will be our Halloween episode. And we've got some treats for some of you who are club members, because we will be giving away at random this lovely tin of
Penzance. That's right, man. We're so excited. This was actually a gift to us from a listener and friend, and we were excited to be able to re-gift that to some lucky person out there in Country Squire Radio Pipe Club fandom.
Better than a fruitcake.
Man, it's exciting too. We're thrilled. By the end of the show tonight, you will also have a couple of other things that are going to be given away too. So both of the tobaccos that we traditionally pair with the whiskeys that we talk about on Squire Select episodes, both the tobaccos that we talk about tonight will also be given away as a part of that giveaway.
Oh,
and so at the end of October,
the pot just got sweetened
and October just started. So I mean, there's no telling what's going to come up around the corner. So, but by the end of the night, you'll have a couple more things. We're excited to say that folks will have the opportunity to win by the end of October. Of course, these are for Country Squire Radio Pipe Club members, and we could not be here without you, and we're very, very grateful. This is just a small way that we can give back.
Absolutely. All right, man. Good stuff. We got a great show tonight. We're doing a Squire Select this evening. Now, longtime listeners, of course, are very familiar with the Squire Select. That is a series that we've had since the earliest days of the show, and it is where we take various whiskeys, and we've done various beverages from time to time. We have done at least one tea, one coffee. We've done red wine, gin.
Yep.
Not done beer yet, which I think is kind of interesting, but we have done...
We did do beer.
Whiskeys, we haven't done beers. We did whiskeys, bourbons, scotches, but pretty much some sort of brown water, and we pair those up with various tobaccos.
That's
now,
right.
You know, one thing, if you don't know this about John David, you should. The man has a palate like no other. So what you are going to hear tonight is him describing flavors and textures that you're going to think, what? But it's just because he's that good. And the great thing is, the longer you listen to him and the more you start tasting the stuff that he recommends, you start developing that palate yourself. I hope. That's what I've heard. It hasn't happened to me yet. But
You're ridiculous.
That's just me.
Man, I always love a good Squire Select episode. For obvious reasons, we get to do this with great friends, both in present company and across the globe, and also you know, drink to our heart's content and occasionally ask our significant others to drive us home. So, yeah, man, tonight.
One time that happened.
Yeah,
one time.
Maybe once or twice, yeah. or maybe ask our co-host to drive us home. You never know. That's happened a couple times.
That has happened.
Tonight, got a couple of great ones, and both these are Southern whiskeys that we're really excited to discuss. You know, there's just such a craft bourbon, craft whiskey kind of boom right now, of course, in the United States, probably everywhere for that matter. But everyone's getting into the small batch, regional stuff. Hey, where's this weird whiskey that, you know, where'd you get it? And, you know, how can I get some? I'd like to try it and add it to my collection and all this kind of stuff. So anyway... Tonight, we are so excited. One of our very, very dear friends, it's been not even a month ago now, Jason Naff, who's right outside of Dallas, Texas. He actually came to visit us.
Oh, snap, yeah.
Actually came to visit us, made his first pipe pilgrimage.
200th episode?
No, it was after that. We're talking like maybe just a month ago now. But Jason... Jason, good friend. Initially, been a longtime customer of the Country Squire. Met him last year at the Chicago Pipe Show, been in close contact with him since then, good friend of the show, and came and did his pilgrimage. And as a gift, he brought us some really interesting whiskey from Northern Texas. This is Witherspoon whiskey, is straight bourbon whiskey, and it is from Lewisville, Texas, which is right outside of Dallas and Fort Worth.
Can I ask you a question you might not know the answer to?
I probably don't.
Okay, well, I was under the impression that bourbon was kind of like champagne in the sense that, like, if it's called bourbon, it has to come from Kentucky.
It's a misconception. So bourbon, the idea of bourbon is that a certain percentage of it has to be made from corn. Right. But it's not geography based other than just being in the United States. So yeah, there is this kind of, wives' tale or some kind of, thing where people kind of associate it like champagne. It's got to come from a certain region or something. That might've been historically true. To be honest, I'm not positive, but today bourbon just means that it's whiskey made with a certain percentage of corn, and I believe it's just over 50% or 51% corn. Anyway, this is a Texas bourbon. It's a delicious Texas bourbon. This is Witherspoon whiskey. The distillery was founded there in 2011. I love what's happened. You've had all these service members that have gone and served our country, you know, well across the world, and for whatever reason. You know, maybe they've experienced, you know, some interesting, spirits in different countries they visited or something like that. But we've kind of got this trend now where these service members are coming home. We've got a few distilleries and breweries that have opened up. And they are being founded by veterans, and this Witherspoon is one of those distilleries, which is kind of neat. So
that's interesting.
Really neat. Quentin Witherspoon, he is from the North Texas area, and just kind of fell in love with the craft of distilling spirits when he was overseas in the Marines, and then when he retired, came back, he opened his own distillery. It's kind of taken off in that North Texas area. This is super boutique, super small batch stuff. I mean, you're not gonna find this just anywhere. But what's exciting and what I love the dovetail with this episode is that it's right outside of of Fort Worth and Dallas. And so if you happen to be in the at the Texas Pipe Show this coming weekend, just a very short drive away, you'll be able to go to this distillery and actually take a tour if you want. So really exciting, kind of cool. Witherspoon, it's good. They have single malt whiskey, which, you know, is going to be more along the lines of a scotch. They also have bourbon. They also do quite a bit of rum as well, infused rum with things like cinnamon. So
interesting.
Yeah, just kind of fascinating. So they don't, in this particular distillery, they don't contract anything out. So all the fermenting, distilling, the bottling, the aging, you know, all that is done in-house there, which is, you know, which is significant for a, you know, distillery of their size. This is a small distillery. This is 100-proof whiskey. And you know, it's one of those that has plenty of strength, but it's not a nosy tobacco. It's not one of those where when you put your nose into the glass getting ready to sip it, you get the sting of it. You know what I mean? It's strong up front. It has a robustness, but it's not overwhelming. So
it does. I mean, you're not wrong. You know, I guess I'm pulling the curtain back a little bit here by saying this, but we've been kind of enjoying this a little bit before the show, and yeah, the sting is definitely like one of the things that you first get when you get there.
Yeah, but the nose, though, I think the nose, it's not extremely medicinal when you first sniff the alcohol. So it does have kind of a creaminess to it, and then I think it's followed up by this interesting kind of pepper and cinnamon on the back end. I get creamy on the front, and then but it's stronger on the back end than I think it lets on. And so there's this black pepper that kind of rushes forward, and I think that's the flavor that lingers with me.
Interesting.
As I kind of swallow and then just kind of sit with that whiskey.
Well, and for the sake of tradition, even though we have been drinking it before the show,
yeah. Cheers.
You know, I feel like cinnamon has been the theme so far this evening.
Has it?
Well, you've mentioned, you know, I believe cinnamon kind of playing into one of the blends earlier. And you know, I got to tell you, I would never, when I was drinking this beforehand, I didn't pick up cinnamon. Now that you say it, it's all I can taste.
The power of suggestion.
That's amazing. That's what I'm saying. Like you pull out like these little notes.
Hey, I just want to say for the record too, that even though this is not related to what we're talking about now, that
Squire Select.
Texas Tea does not have an ounce or a drop of unflavored Black Cavendish in it.
Oh, does it not?
It does not. It does not.
All right.
Now, no promises that the next blend that the Squire comes out with won't, but Texas Tea does not.
Right, call back to last episode for new listeners. Go listen to last episode. That'll make sense.
But anyway, back
on to our whiskey here. All right. Yeah. So this one definitely does have kind of that sting sharp. Flavor when you first sip it, but no, I'm definitely getting that kind of lingering.
There's a lingering cinnamon and just a little pepper.
I don't pick up the pepper, but that's not to say it's not there.
Yeah.
All right. So this kind of almost seems like it'd be tricky to pair a tobacco with.
Yeah. I had a little trouble with this one. Yeah.
Right.
But after thinking a long time, we came up with, I think, an excellent pairing. This, of course, is going to be paired tonight with one of our house blends at the Country Squire. It's one of our most complex blends that has just a whole smorgasbord of ingredients. And this is Hunting Creek. If you're not haven't smoked it or, you know, are not familiar with it, maybe a newer listener, Hunting Creek is one of our hybrid blends here at the Country Squire. I call it hybrid blend. Some folks refer to them as English aromatics. Hunting Creek, this is a tobacco that is going to feature just a dash of Latakia, but then also have plenty of sweet Black Cavendish and some lightly topped Virginias. And so just a real complex blend. It's one of those that I think has a nice body, a nice strength to it. The semi-sweet nature of the Hunting Creek mixed with the little spiciness of the Latakia, or the smokiness rather, I think just goes well nicely with this kind of chameleon bourbon that we've got here that has this element of, you know, creaminess mixed with the cinnamon spice. So
it's such a good pairing, man. I
work hard on these. I really do. I think people think I just throw out a dartboard.
Last minute, we got a Squire Select. Oh, let me just grab this one off the wall. But no, this is a really good pairing, man. Of course,
I really think this one came out great.
Hunting Creek has been at the Country Squire for some time, to be sure,
At least, gosh, that blend is at least 25 years old. Yeah.
name after the, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but this one was actually named after the founder's grandchild, if I'm not mistaken.
Whose name is Hunting Creek, yes. Yeah. named by the founder's grandchild.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, right.
Yeah. It's a real complex blend. It's one of ours that we're incredibly proud of and has been a signature blend of ours for now a couple of decades. And so when you smoke Hunting Creek, you get this thick, creamy texture, but then there's this latakia that's smoky on the background mixed with this kind of soft vanilla. And so I think it's just a nice, well-rounded tobacco. It's another aromatic for a grown man. It's one of those similar to Texas tea. It's going to be a grown man's aromatic tobacco that we're very proud of. So I think it goes well with the Witherspoon.
That's good, man. It's good pairing. Yep. You know, I should also mention too for podcast listeners, one of the things that live listeners or live viewers have been able to see on the live show is that typically whenever we do a tobacco talk or a Squire Select, whenever there's kind of a tobacco involved, generally I'll kind of open up the tin, I'll kind of stick my nose in it and like breathe in, you know, the smell of it and everything. I was about to do that with the Hunting Creek, and then I realized, oh no, this is actually going to one of our club members. So
that's right.
I probably shouldn't just open it up and like stick my face in it.
Man, that's okay.
So I just did it with the jar like that you sell. So that's
that's right. So some lucky Country Squire radio club member at the end of October will win 2 ounces of Hunting Creek, and then also along with the Penzance that we have here.
So, oh snap! So you're actually like, so it's not going to be like multiple.
Oh no, these will be multiple winners.
Okay,
yeah.
All right,
multiple
you.
Winners. Yeah. So as much as we love Hunting Creek, someone's going to win Hunting Creek and they'll be like, oh, it's great. But man, I wish I would have gotten the Penzance. Right.
Consolation.
Even if they don't like Penzance, they just turn around and sell it for $70 on eBay.
That's right.
So, happens all the time.
That's what's going on. Like somebody somewhere, if not a couple of us, are just hoarding Penzance so that we can put our kids through college.
No, it's our trust fund. Exactly. Right. I literally have friends that do this.
Right? Yeah.
They've quit buying guns and started putting into Christmas cheer.
That's what right. It is. That's what it is. Like it's like one of those things.
It was like pork bellies, and then like silver bullion, and then guns, and now it's Christmas cheer.
The government is regulating our tobacco, and then right. Like yes, and now it's going up in value. I know.
We have a few friends that I think would that makes good sense for.
Right, so, right, right. Yeah.
All right, let me get some fresh cups
glasses.
Out here.
Yep. All right. I'll.
Are you gonna kill that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good thing that one of us can drive home.
You know, it's what. No, I'm fine. I'm
no,
fine.
You're fine. I believe it.
I had a salad for dinner. It's great. But go light on my glass here. With the next
Pappy
one.
Joe, please give him hell for having salad for dinner. That's fantastic.
Gotta lose a little bit of.
No, that's good. Rabbit food occasionally is great. So, our next.
It's kale. It's a superfood.
Wow. Wow. You know,
there was a Squire Select night when.
There's when you admit to eating kale on air.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's open season now on you, Bo. I mean, yeah. That's fair.
I, the memes are coming.
Yep. Okay, so now our second pairing, very proud of this one. This is really great whiskey, and I didn't know that this was a thing until recently. Actually, the liquor store that's right next door to our shop was kind of featuring this a while back, and so I had some other friends that had some, and then since then have kind of heard about it on the edges, you know, around the periphery. People have been like, you know, talking about different spirits and been like, have you tried that stuff yet? And the stuff we're talking about tonight is Clyde Mays straight bourbon whiskey. This is a regional spirit. It's a this is distilled in Alabama.
It is.
And this may be the best thing that's ever come out of Alabama.
I mean, yes.
I honestly think there might be some reality to that. We just lost all of our Alabama listeners, except maybe my parents. So,
what are you talking about? We talk about premium tobacco here. Why would we have any Alabama listeners? I'm kidding. We love you guys out in Bama.
No, just kidding. Yep.
I mean, yeah.
So, yeah, we have, we're talking about Clyde Mays. This is their straight bourbon whiskey. Clyde Mays, this is a regional whiskey, but it's becoming more nationwide. This is starting to be, it is so good, it's starting to be distributed across the country. And I was really, really pleased and impressed with this particular alcohol when I tried it, and then have tried it several times subsequently. And Bo and I were like, man, let's talk about this. This is something we both enjoy. We've kind of fallen in love with. It's time to bring out on the air.
Yeah, I think I may have even mentioned this last week that this bottle I actually got during the cigar event here last week. Or was it 2 weeks ago? I guess it was the weekend before last. And it was on sale next door. I picked it up, got it, and man, enjoyed this. And it was so fantastic that before the night was done, we're like, well, hey, next Squire Select, this is going to be what we're talking
it's
about.
It's got to be on the rotation.
You know, the branding of this is so very interesting. You know, the last very Texas in terms of that big star going on.
Right.
With this one, it's not very Bama from that standpoint, but it is.
Well, it doesn't have a mullet.
It's a very busy. It does. Wow. No, but it does have a comb over, greased over a haircut that is very much of the time.
It's a good 1940s era gentleman on the front, which we can presume is Clyde May.
Yeah, I mean this the branding is all over the place. It's one of these deals where you know, you've got the gentleman on the front with his haircut, kind of in this. Kind of like a pressed down image of kind of a red inked with a lot of different fonts, a lot of handwriting, a lot of text. I mean, this is one of the busiest.
Yeah, it's real busy.
Liquor bottles that you'll ever see.
It kind of makes you think of the front of like a very well traveled envelope. You know, that's gone. It's got a postage stamp. There's some other stamps and maybe some photos along the sides. Just I don't know. It's kind of nice.
And that's exactly right. On the side, you got photos. Actually, the wraparound at the bottleneck as well. You've got photos up and down. You've got the Italian style kind of label going all the way across the top that you'll see on a lot of Chiantis and that sort of deal. I gotta tell you, I felt a little what's the right word? Conflicted as I picked up the bottle in the liquor store, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I don't know if I want this or not. And I mean, it was all about the branding, because I'm dyslexic, and when you give me that much to look at, no, I'm serious. You give me that much text to look at.
You probably had a seizure.
I have no idea. I still can't read this bottle. It's just all over the place. But the bourbon, fortunately, speaks for itself.
It does, and it's very, very good. Of course, Clyde Mays, this is made in Alabama. It's mostly, like I said, distributed in the Southeast, but now is in the Midwest and now on the West Coast and New England as well. Clyde Mays, they are known mostly for they call it their quote unquote Alabama style whiskey, which is their, it's an apple finished whiskey. That is not what we're drinking tonight.
Yeah.
That is a different thing. This is their bourbon whiskey. And of course, you know, it's a 92 proof. It's aged 5 years in charred barrels. Of course, you know, bourbons in the United States have to be aged in the charred, you know, new oak barrels. And just has a real crisp kind of dark brown, medium to dark brown color. You know, when you smell it and the smell in the glass that you're drinking from, it's not not extremely medicinal. It doesn't have a lot of bite in the smell. You know, it's one of those, it is a lower proof alcohol, 92 proof, and so not too strong. It's not overwhelmed by those notes that just kind of sting up front. You can kind of taste some of the flavor initially, which I like. And when I drink this particular whiskey, you know, it's one of those where I get a lot of bite on the front end of this whiskey, but it's a pleasant bite. It's a whiskey that lets you know, hey, you're drinking something substantial. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Which I really appreciate.
It's a bourbon drinker's bourbon.
Yeah. And I think that's why people, of course, pick on me all the time, but I think that's why I like Wild Turkey so much, because it's Wild Turkey. It's not anything like Clyde Mays, trust me. But you know, Wild Turkey, when you drink it, you just know that, like, okay, there's that initial sting, like we're drinking whiskey now. This is a time that's going to be set apart for something good, right?
Or that's right.
Or something shameful and regretful. But either way, you know it's a bourbon.
No,
you know,
it's not tequila. Yeah. Like no. Like
yeah, I mean, you're right.
No, I want to. Let me think about this. Every good decision in life I've ever had was followed by bourbon. I'm trying to think of any good decisions came after bourbon, but no bad decisions did.
Unlike tequila, which almost all bad decisions come after tequila.
Exactly. And with that, cheers.
Cheers. That's right.
There you go.
Mm. So you get a little bite up front. There's a heat.
It's the right kind of bite and heat. I mean,
it's the right kind of bite and heat. It's one of those that you know, I think with the thickness of it, it just kind of, it stings the front of your mouth and then immediately kind of mellows out into these just real kind of mellow fruit tones. You've got some brown sugar there, just some kind of... almost like someone took a lot of fruit and maybe baked it or put it into like you know how apples, after you make them, put an apple pie kind of thing?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So the apples are cooked. They're kind of, the sugars have been caramelized and they just are richer and not quite as sharp. Just a real creamy, sweet, in a very adult way, sweet whiskey. So, it's just very good.
I gotta tell you, this makes me want to take back every bad thing I've ever said about Alabama.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I'm just saying, it's good.
This is good whiskey, but I don't know if I would go that far. So tonight, I'm really excited about this pairing. This whiskey is so incredibly sippable. It immediately lets you know that you're smoking something or drinking something that is substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pairing this tonight with something I'm very excited to pair it with. I think this is also a great pairing, if I don't say so myself. And this is another blend.
Ooh.
This is another blend from our friends at Esoterica. It is Pembroke. This is just an incredible blend and something that's incredibly unique. And for anyone that's been lucky enough to get their hands on Pembroke, of course, the two tobaccos from Esoterica that people always fall all over themselves to get are the Stonehaven and the Penzance.
That's right. Yeah.
Pembroke is not far behind in that. It's one of those that is just incredibly unique. They took their one of their English blends. Most people think that it's actually just Margate, which is another one of their blends. And they cased it, flavored it with French cognac. Okay, and so there's a rich kind of syrupy sweetness that goes with the smoky Latakia in this particular blend. And I just think this is a fun tobacco to smoke. Pembroke is just a really fun tobacco to smoke. So obviously, Bo, this tin is not open.
I was about to say, I'm not about to just grab that and open it like
this.
This
tin is not open because one of our Squire Club members is actually going to win this tin at the end of the month. But Pembroke it's a great blend. It is real, just enough syrupy in there to let you know that you're smoking something that is lightly flavored, but it does have kind of that, you know, rich, luxurious English blend quality, you know. And so you immediately, when you do smoke it, right off the bat, you know, from the very first puff of Pembroke, know that you're smoking an English blend. But then as the Latakia subsides and some of the heat goes away, you are left with this sweet cognac taste, which I think is very interesting. And it's a different tobacco from the gate.
This is actually blended. I mean, Esoterica is based out of
Great Britain.
Great Britain.
Yeah.
When we go for the UK Pipe Show next year, I'm just assuming we're going to be there. We need to visit
business,
them.
Business expense, anyone?
Dude, if we could actually get like an interview with Esoterica, like, well, you think about what these people have done in the pipe tobacco industry.
They've created the unicorn of the pipe industry.
Like, it cannot be underselled. Like, you know, there's a lot of talk in terms of, you know, I mean, pipe tobacco as a whole, not universally, but I think for many of us who are listening, I mean, there is a premium nature to it in terms of the quality, the uniqueness, I mean, you know, the various blends that are out there. But what Esoterica has done, they have really taken it up a notch. I mean, they really have done something amazing with their branding and with their pipe tobaccos. I would love, you know, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, yeah, in terms of like who would be a good interview, and we posted it out to the Pipe Club, and we've gotten some great suggestions. But
those folks,
I would love an interview with Esoterica. Like, from a retail, from a product development standpoint, I would geek out so hard on just their whole philosophy behind the way that they've approached their pipe tobaccos. Now, Pembroke in particular, I actually have a tin of this up in my cellar that I have yet to smoke.
Oh, you haven't even opened?
No, because it's like,
oh, it's fantastic.
It's my only one.
No, that might send your kid to community college for a couple years.
Well, I'm gonna give it a decade, and who knows? Maybe that'll
maybe that's an Ivy League.
Put it at Harvard, right?
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
Man, Pembroke. This is a great tobacco. It's a shag cut tobacco. The Latakia, just a real robust Latakia blend. It's one of those that, you know, the Latakia lets you know immediately that it's there. It's not harsh by any means, and it's not a Balkan blend, so it's not overwhelming with this thick oiliness. But the cognac makes its way, makes itself known, and I think it just really matches nicely with the Clyde Maize. And the reason is because the Clyde Maize has this delicate balance between the brown sugar and the bite, and then also the kind of cooked fruit flavor. And so you've got these cooked fruit flavors. They're semi-sweet, they're rich and silky, and then you've also got this kind of bitiness that's right off the bat when you drink Clyde Maize. And so Pembroke for me made good sense for this particular pairing, and I think it's a thing. I think it's one worth trying.
Admittedly, I'll just have to take your word for it because again, I've never smoked it before.
You can't smoke Pembroke.
That's the problem. Like most esoteric blends I've had. I mean, aside from the Penzance, which was I was given a gift of Penzance, and so I was able to smoke that from a listener who actually like told me they were only going to give it to me if I actually smoked it.
Yeah,
like, it was like one of those deals where it's like, all right, you gotta try it. Same thing with Stonehaven, and so like I've had those. But in one of the situations, I believe the tin may have been opened before. The other one was literally like, here's a baggie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, don't ask questions. Here's a baggie.
Take this flake. Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So I haven't had the pleasure yet to enjoy the Penzance, but sooner rather than later. Sooner rather than later.
It's good stuff, man. Yeah. Really, really happy with how these pairings came out. Both of these are really good whiskeys. The Witherspoon, you're not going to be able to find far outside of the Dallas area. I mean, this is very much a very boutique whiskey. The Clyde Maize, it's really making a name for itself. It's coming on strong. And depending on what part of the country you live in, you can probably find it close by. So great whiskeys. I think, the pairings are relatively strong too. And the best part is someone will get to try these tobaccos themselves very soon.
Sorry, I was just finishing.
You're
up.
You're swallowing.
Yeah, I was that right. So we got out of the old glass there, man. No, it's delicious in terms of the bourbons, delicious in terms of the tobaccos. And, you know, the best way to make sure that what you're smoking is delicious is to make sure you have a good quality, clean smoke. The kind of smoke that the people at Missouri Meerschaum make sure that you have every single time you're enjoying one of their corncob pipes. Yes, that's right. We love the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. Y'all have heard us talk about them episode to episode. We've had various different pipes supporting the show. This episode is actually not brought to you by a specific Missouri Meerschaum pipe. This episode is brought to you by you, dear listener, because those of you out there that have Missouri Meerschaum pipes, you're enjoying smoking them, and you enjoy doing some crazy custom jobs. You know, we were actually talking right before the show.
I love this, man.
About some different pipes that we were seeing being tweeted in and some different custom work that some of you guys, and I'm not talking about like these different websites that you see. I'm talking about your Eric Cartman pipe that's right over the
chair. No, exactly. Eric Cartman custom Missouri Meerschaum, right?
No, but we've got so many different listeners who have been customizing their pipes and you know, we'll tweet those in from time to time. So if you've got a Missouri Meerschaum pipe that you have done some kind of custom work to, whether it's staining, painting, you know, getting more involved in that, tweet those into us because we'd love to retweet those out because that not only lets us tell the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum how much you appreciate them for sponsoring the show, but it also helps us showcase the hard work that you've done to kind of customize your own Missouri Meerschaum
pipe. That's right. That's right. And the great thing about this, too, is that the folks at Missouri Meerschaum are very supportive of people customizing their pipes. This is not a turn your pinky up kind of carver that is going to say, well, don't mess with my work. They make a good product and they want you to take it and make it your own even more. And so they really love these custom cobs that come out of the folks that love Missouri Meerschaum pipes. And man, send yours in. We would love to see those and retweet those out. And of course, let the folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you heard about us, heard about them on our show.
All right, man.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from listener Dave that asks a great question. He said, he's obviously someone who tunes in the live show because he says, I notice what appears to be glass jars of various tobaccos holding the tobacco in the shop. Is glass the best way to store tobacco long term? If so, is there one kind of jar better than another? Love the show and thanks for answering. Again, that is listener Dave.
Yeah, Dave, great question. This is a question we get often for folks that do enjoy storing tobacco on their own. We've talked recently about cellaring tobacco. We've talked recently about aging tobacco and the chemical processes that happen there. And so, you know, there's a lot of folks that do just kind of like storing tobacco, even if they're not going to smoke it every day, just to have around. Glass jars are great for this, and we recommend them highly. You know, any type of plastic at some point has the opportunity to impart some kind of flavor, even residual flavor, into the tobacco if it's something that was used before. Glass is incredibly incredibly clean and just makes the best way to store tobacco, I think, long term. And so, you know, we talk about different kind of jars. There's a few that we can talk about. So obviously the easiest and the one that we go to most often is the mason jar. The ball jar, you know, these are the jars that you buy at Walmart, Target, your grocery store. People do a lot of canning. So if you grow, you know, stuff in your backyard and want to can it for later, some people are into that kind of thing.
Or what Alabamians call a bank account.
They call, right. No, that you bury that in your backyard behind your but next to your grandmother's dentures.
Yeah, if you're in Alabama.
Right. Yeah. 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 Because yeah. We're in Mississippi and we can talk.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. So
how did Alabama get to be the butt of the joke this episode?
I don't know. I don't know. Thank you, Claude Mays.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
But you know, so anyway, we highly recommend mason jars. I think they do work great. Other jars that are good are any jar that has a really tight seal lid with a rubber gasket. And so we often talk about the ones that have the kind of the clamp down. We call them the hasp lock lids. A lot of folks use those for spices, kitchen spices, anything like that. Glass jars that have that feature are nice as well. The main thing you know, is that you want to store it in a jar. Again, the glass jars are great, but store it in one that's close in size to the amount of tobacco that you're trying to hold. So, you know, you don't want to put 2 ounces of tobacco in a gigantic jar. You want to put it in, you know, 2 ounces of tobacco in a jelly jar or something that's closer in size to the amount of tobacco that you're trying to store. So,
I mean, when you're canning things in general, that tends to be the case, right? You want as less air as possible.
I think so. And again, like we talked about, the some air is important for that aerobic fermentation process. Mm-hmm, you know, we talked about that a couple episodes ago. That, you know, some air is important for that. So you do want an element of air. But you know, you don't want to just overkill it on the sides of the jar. You know, if you're watching Country Squire Radio tonight live on YouTube, you see behind us, we've actually got our tobacco bar here, and the two rows of tobaccos here that I'm pointing to, these are in glass jars that, you know, some of these jars are actually older than Beau and I are, which is kind of amazing when you think about it. It really is pretty amazing, but These glass jars are great for short-term storage. We use them here at the Squire because we move tobacco so fast. They have rubber seals on them, but they're not incredibly tight rubber seals, so they're not really good for long-term storage. Here at the shop, if we are storing tobacco for longer term, we keep them in very, very tight sealed glass jar environments. And so, you know, these are tobaccos that, you know, we're going through very quickly, and so they've got a rubber seal on them, but it's not a very tight seal. This is a decorative jar. They are pretty, but you know, I'd recommend something maybe a little more with a firmer seal on it. Of course, you can get that, like we mentioned, at any Walmart, Target, you know, a craft store. If you go to like Hobby Lobby, you know, they've got stuff like that in there as well. So anyway, just some ideas.
That's a great suggestion. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we've done at least one episode, possibly two at this point, about storing tobaccos, that sort of thing, on the archive. So if you haven't already, check the backlog for Country Squire Radio. And if you happen to be a patron, then you've got access to the full archive as well. So be sure to check that as well at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right.
Quickfire with the Squire.
Quickfire Chris Jones. Ow! All right, man, these quickfire questions come in at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com, more about them in a minute. Okay, this is from Modi2.
Okay.
Now he actually sent like a laundry list.
Wow.
Yeah, but like,
dude, but we can do this quick.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we can do this quick.
So the theme is positional, situational.
Okay. This is rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Okay. Like, this is true quick fire question.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good.
Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Up or down?
Up.
Up. Right or left?
Right.
Left. Front or back?
Front.
Front. In or out?
Out.
In. Top or bottom?
Top.
Top. North or south?
South.
South. East or west?
East.
West. Polar or equatorial?
polar or equatorial? I'm going to go with equatorial.
I'm going to go with polar because I could say it right. Land or sea?
Land.
Sea. Above or below?
Above.
Above, forward or backward?
Forward.
Always forward. Early or late?
Late.
Early. And finally, over or under?
Over.
Definitely over. You know, I noticed something about both of us as we went through that. When it came to like the spatial in terms of like up versus down.
We picked the top one each time.
We picked the top one. Yeah.
Does anyone pick the bottom one?
Well, I'm always like claustrophobic. And so like I always think of like in terms of like being kind of underground or something. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know.
You can get out quicker maybe?
Yeah. Something? Well, you know, when you're outside, when you're above, the sky's the limit. But when you're like underground, there's like all of this like, you know, very regulated like, okay, well, I can only move here before I bump my arm or bump my head and that sort of deal.
Right. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good.
All right.
I'm just glad we both picked south.
I have a feeling, you know, so I full disclosure on that. Obviously, as I was putting him down, I was kind of scanning through those. And I saw north or south, and I was like, man, it's like, I feel like in my youth, I would have chosen north.
Yeah.
But like in modern time, it's like, it's cold up there.
I know, it's cold, dude.
Like, I like it down here. Yeah, like, my temperature is amazing.
My joints are too brittle for that.
Every step north takes me one step further away from New Orleans, and that's a problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That should be on a t-shirt.
Fair enough. I think it may already be.
Well, again, those were from Modi2. By the way, shout out to Modi2 for giving us our first ever true quickfire questions.
Hey, those were good.
I don't think we've ever been that quick in the quickfire question since even
the
like...
The laundry list. Well, yeah, generally it's like, you know, do you like it, you know... Well, yeah.
We'll say like hot or cold, and then we'll get like all like existential about it for like 50 minutes.
Like we're getting kind of right now.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Thank you, Modi, too.
Consistency. Hey, if you got some quick fire questions, you can submit those in over at the forums at thispipelife.com. Now, thispipelife.com is a great online community, very visually stimulating when you first go to the website. But the wonderful thing about this is it's not just this website. In fact, they engage in a lot of different social platforms. You can follow them on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, This Pipe Life across the board. And when you do, especially, by the way, if you happen to follow them on Twitter, let them know, hey, following you guys, heard about you on at Squire Radio. Or if you're following on Facebook, hey, following you guys, heard about you on, and then if you get at Country Squire Radio, then it'll pop up that way. It's a little bit more complicated on Facebook. I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but they're on Facebook. And if you're a fan of Facebook, follow them there. But big shout out to the good folks at thispipelife.com for making it happen. Of course, if you sign up using the code CSR. That lets them know that you heard about it on the show. Again, CSR when you sign up at thispipelife.com. Not to be confused with This Pipe Life.
Right.
That should be like a disclaimer.
Which also has a place in our hearts. Right.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right. Listener feedback, man. We got some good listener feedback this episode coming in. So I gotta mention this. So I kind of posted out real quick before we went live, just kind of asking like, hey, those of you in the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club,
right?
Who's gonna be here? In Texas next week or this weekend? And I got the shout out from Jason Knaff, who said he's definitely gonna be there.
Yeah, of course, man. Giver of our select whiskey tonight.
Of course, yeah. And then also, I think this is so cool, Greg Acock. Read what Greg said.
Yeah, believe it or not, although I live in Riverside, California, I think I'm going to be about 1.5 hours away on Saturday. So I might be there for the slow smoke competition. Pretty cool. And that's from Greg. So, man, what are the chances? Like, you live, probably 1,000 miles away, and you're like, I'll be right in the neighborhood.
That's so awesome.
It'd be great.
That actually happened, I want to say, on our second ever Grand Rapids meetup. We actually had somebody who
just happened to be in the neighborhood.
And I apologize, brother, if you're listening. I cannot remember your name, but yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he like worked on the train tracks, and so he happened to be like, you know,
dude, what are the odds?
Maybe like an hour and a half away, but he made the drive, so we could come and drink beer and smoke pipes and get a chance to meet everyone. Which was pretty cool.
That's really great. Yep. Yeah.
Whenever anybody's able to make a trek like that and just lines up, you know, it's a beautiful thing. We also have a now this. This one, man, is probably one of my favorite listener feedback write-ins that we've had. This
was
a direct message on Facebook from a listener of the show.
Nigel Baird.
Resident, like the most British of British names out there.
Right.
Nigel. Now, we've given Nigel not a hard time. We've blessed him by referring to the fact that his name is the most British name that's out there.
Look, if I could speak like Nigel and my name were Nigel, I I'd trade for that any day.
Well, that's the thing. We here in the States, we have kind of this assumption that all like British accents are the same, but no, there is very much a North and South and kind of Cogni versus everything else like
this.
No,
that's right. Yeah.
In preparation, as we were building up to the UK Pipe Show and for the War of the Roses that's going on, I've watched some of the videos with some of the YouTubers over in the UK as they're getting ready for the UK Pipe Show. And I believe, I cannot remember who it was, but somebody was even commenting about their accent and how obviously it was a Yorkshire accent.
Interesting. Wow.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know that.
I know.
But I pronounce Yorkshire very specifically like that because we haven't read Nigel's email.
That's right. Would you like me to read it?
I would love for you to read it.
This is from Nigel. Hey guys, I'm back. Just enjoyed the show about aging pipe tobacco. Need to give you a correction on pronunciation. The Hobbit, well, he lived in the Shire. However, if one calls Yorkshire his or her home, it is pronounced Yorkshire. And he says that Yorkshire. So that's the pronunciation style, Yorkshire. It's the same with Lancashire. It's pronounced Lancashire. And the Queen, she lives at Buckingham Palace, but it's not Buckingham, it's Buckingham. Buckingham. Kind of like Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, man.
So it's Buckingham Palace. And in all cases, you don't need to put a lot of intonation on the ending. Stick with these and you'll have we'll have you talking the Queen's English in no time.
The Queen's English?
Isn't that something? Nigel, thanks, man. That is wonderful. In the States, particularly in the South, where a lot of English immigrants moved in the early 1800s. There are all these little towns in the Deep South that are named after places in the UK and in Ireland. And so we've got these little towns. There's a Gloucester, Mississippi. There's a Inverness, Mississippi. But we don't say them like that. It's Gloucester and Inverness. it's same thing with some of our Irish names. We've got just towns all over the map that are similar. And so it's just funny to get it from the Queen's tongue.
Yeah, so. The Queen. By the way, so Nigel, you do realize that the usurper that you are that is your overlord over there is not the true queen. She is merely holding down the throne that is rightfully mine. I feel like I've made this clear. So this whole idea of Queen's English, it really should be York's English.
Dude, she's going to send like a hit guy after you.
Well, yeah, right. she's going to send...
She's got like James Bond and stuff,
man. That's what I was
going to say,
007, yeah. Here's the deal. If it's Yorkshire as opposed to Yorkshire... Why is it spelled Yorkshire and not Yorkshire? If you have to spell it phonetically, something tells me there's a breakdown. Now, part of this is the fact that I'm dyslexic. So I'm big on like, yeah, I pronounce it the way it's spelled, and the rest of the world is crazy for not doing so, as opposed to me with my learning disability. But regardless, Yorkshire, in order to say Yorkshire, I have to say Yorkshire as opposed to Yorkshire, which is what it is. We don't say, for example, Nugel. We say Nigel.
I think you're an idiot.
What's
you just kind of go with it. It's one of those things. Like these are, it's the British, it's the English language.
Can we have an aside real quick?
Well, we're going to have an aside apparently in front of like a million people.
No. That's why. Hey, man, this is like British US type stuff, man.
I
get it. Look, I get it. They invented.
They get to write the book on this.
They invented the language.
They had their own dictionaries.
They
and
got
stuff.
Their whole thing. But like, their Oxford Dictionary is like, but like our Oxford Dictionary is the one that's in Mississippi.
Yeah, we can't even. We literally say Inverness instead of Inverness.
They don't. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, look, if we collectively get it wrong, then they're wrong because they're like off doing it differently.
Okay, so you just want us to keep a united front.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's just like the same side, like Mississippi, United States, and rightful King of England. If you could back me there. I'm just saying.
All right. I just can't wait to see y'all next year in Yorkshire.
Hell yeah, there we go.
Right.
That's how we say it down here. Nigel, man, thanks for keeping us on the up and up, brother. That's good. Yorkshire. But that's the thing.
It's like, a really hard task.
Yorkshire. But see, if we say Yorkshire in like American, like American dialect,
right,
it sounds very weird. That's my only complaint.
Every time I want to say is talk like a British person, I just talk like Stewie Griffin.
Yes,
Yorkshire. Ah. Well, thanks for writing in.
Great listener feedback, guys. Hey, we really appreciate that. We've been getting some great live feedback on Twitter tonight as well. The memes, y'all are definitely hitting me hard with this kale thing.
As they should.
Jay Freedy with the Captain Kale, saying that's actually mild-mannered Bo York is actually Captain Kale, the superhero.
Yep.
Or perhaps Super Zero. We also have Wyatt Mason, who has photoshopped my face over a rabbit. Eating lettuce.
Excellent.
Yes.
Josh White asks, he says, will Texas tea be available to purchase through the shop? And
those questions.
Man, good question. I think, we'll see what the reception is at the Texas Pipe Show.
By the way, I got to say, shout out to Wyatt as well, who's tuning in and saw a cap, a newsy style cap that typically I wear on the show. I cannot find it tonight. I actually was heading out the door and I couldn't find it anywhere. But anyway, he saw one, picked it up, and is wearing it tonight in my honor. So
that's great.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. But yeah, so love all of you guys tuning in here for the live show. We really, really greatly appreciate it. It's a lot of fun to see all of the memes and gifts that come along with it.
That's right. Pappy Joe, of course, says, I prefer Pembroke over Stonehaven. Mm-hmm. It also pairs well with a good dark sipping rum, which you would expect, of course, being the nice thick cognac casing that it's got there. So Gene, our good friend Gene Bokery, says, if Esoterica was as available as Cornell and Deal, I doubt it would be as good of a seller. And yeah, it's good. Good food for thought there. It may or may not be the case.
That is part of why I really hope at some point we talk to them, because there's a lot of like they're business minded geniuses over there.
I mean, that scarcity deal. Is Pembroke really better than some of the liquor flavored blends they've got from, let's say, Cornell and Deal or McClelland or Mac Baron? You can get those other ones, but you can't get Pembroke. And so of course it is highly coveted. Interesting, interesting discussion.
Well, and there's different schools of thought on that as well. I mean, maybe I should even save my thoughts and observations. We need to at some point do an Esoterica focused episode. It's kind of almost embarrassing that we haven't done that at some point.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Cool. Well, good deal, man. Well, hey, we really appreciate all of those of y'all that are tweeting in and tuning in for the live show. And hey, if you've never gotten a chance to tune in for a live show, you definitely should. You can generally catch us on Monday nights. Now, next week, we will not have a live show as, of course, we will be in Texas that weekend. So depending on how Texas goes, it very well may be that we won't have a live show for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. It depends on what kind of content comes from there and dictates the next part of the month.
Absolutely. But the best way to keep up with what's going on, we will keep you informed. Those of you who are going to Texas, those of you who are just watching from the sidelines, those of you who are wanting to know when the next live show is, follow us on Twitter at Squire Radio. You can follow us individually as well. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, all this information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man.
Dude, this was fun, man. Of course, I mean, what's not fun about, drinking booze and smoking tobaccos and giving away stuff?
You know, it is funny because we were due for a Squire Select episode, but generally I like to kind of pair those back and forth with the tobacco talks, and hopefully we'll be able to do one in Texas. And I was thinking, okay, well, we could push it back until after we get, back from Texas and after we get all that good content that we get from there out.
Yeah.
But then that just, puts it off till later in October, and I just want to do it tonight.
It just felt right. it felt right, man. So much good spirits to imbibe with and good tobaccos to pair with.
Oh, hey, man. Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.